Good morning, friends of Jesus and friends of mine. It is Saturday, April the 18th, in the year of our Lord 2026. And yes, I have filed for an extension on my taxes, okay? I missed the deadline once again, but apparently the IRS has grace for sinners like me. I don't know if you could call it grace because they're still going to get my money, but maybe you could just call it forbearance. I'm grateful. Anyhow, that just gives you a little window into the reality of what it's like to be me, which is chaotic often. I'm doing my best. It is Saturday, and we have got a meeting with Jesus ahead of us because we want this Saturday to be all it can be. We're going to walk through the door of consecration, and we're going to hit this day with Him. So let's begin there. Wake up. You know, I say this text every day on the wake-up call. It actually comes from Ephesians. It's a verse of Scripture, chapter 5, verse 14. They were already saying this inside of 30 years of the resurrection of Jesus. People were already drifting off to sleep, if you can believe that. Imagine how much more likely might we do the same. That's why every single day, you know, we have to wake up physically. We have to get out of bed. We have to get dressed and all that. Well, in the same way, you got to wake up your soul, your heart, your mind, your spirit, your body. We got to wake up to Jesus. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, prayer, as you pray a prayer like that, it's immediately being answered. It's like the reality is rising up around you. We are in the presence of God together, friends. He's here. He's in us. He's among us. He's joining us together. He's taking us from what we can see with our eyes into a realm that we can only perceive through the eyes of our heart. He's opening that up to us. And so, you know, it's bothering me. If you're watching on video, you see I've got one of those on-air signs, and it's off. I got to go turn it on. Hang on. All right. Now, I got a remote control over here. Bam. There we go. We're on air now. Today's entry. Let's jump. Today's entry. It's entitled, Those Walls of Hostility. Our text is Ephesians 2, chapter 14, verses 14 to 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. And when I say hear it, I mean open your mind, open your heart. This is a seed the Spirit will sow. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body, on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups, Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. In his own body on the cross. Those words, they say more than words can even say. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. If he did this between entire groups of people, i.e. Jews and Gentiles, how much more can he do it between individual persons, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, Hatfields and McCoys? Anyone who has been around for any length of time understands, either from personal experience or the evening news, the meaning of the phrase, the wall of hostility. There are those Frostian, quote, good fences make good neighbors. And then there are walls of hostility. We see them everywhere these days. Walls of hostility rage between men and women, between nation and nation, even between kids in school. It's not new. The walls of hostility rose up as we turned the page onto Genesis 3 with the hiding, blaming, and shaming. In no time, the hostility wall rose up between brothers as Cain murdered Abel. It's the same song with endless verses. There's nothing original about sin and death. But here's something truly original. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. There will be no peace apart from Christ. We may declare a truce, agree to a ceasefire, sign an armistice, and even manage an amicable divorce, but there will be no real peace. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. We will not find peace built on the principle of Christ. We will not find our way to peace based on some kind of conceptual, forensic, or ethical understanding of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The secret to peace is found here, and I quote the text, in his own body on the cross. Two divided groups, bodies or persons, become one, not by coming together, but by beholding his own body on the cross. We must see in the deepest way of seeing the unutterable cost of these walls of hostility. When my oldest son was young, I told you this story back in Jesus Asking, maybe 5 or so, he picked up a small crucifix from my desk. He asked me, he said, "Dad, what do we use this for?" And before I could get out a wrong answer, he revised the question, asking, "Or is this for looking at?" Boom. I was undone. As I beheld the tiny crucifix in his small hand, I answered, "Yes, David, this is for looking at." Recall the lyrics to the famous hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross" by Isaac Watts. when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and blood flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die, and find that I may truly live. I wonder, when is the last time you spent time simply looking at a crucifix or an image of Jesus crucified? It's not about thinking any particular thoughts or conjuring up an emotional expression or feeling. The simple act of looking upon Jesus lifted up on the cross for extended periods of time is a profoundly formational act of worship. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, the one who became broken so we could be made whole. He is our peace. Save us from the ideal of peace and show us the way of peace as a person. In his own body on the cross, it's the only way the walls of hostility ever come down. That's why we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen. A few journal prompts today. Number one, how do you relate to this text today in reflection? And how do you see the difference between peace as an ideal or a principle and peace as a person? And number three, how might you behold his body on the cross in the midst of the walls of hostility in your own life right now? I just want to just ask you, where is there? You know, Romans 12, a word in there, Paul says, as much as it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay, you know, that's saying it's not always possible. He says, as much as it is possible. And he's saying, you know what, it's not always possible because it doesn't all depend on you, right? As much as it depends on you, it doesn't all depend on you. But to the extent that it does, can you make a move? See, Jesus is making that move in you right now. That's his move. He's made it and he's making it. Jesus is in you. And he would move toward the other person, some gesture of reconciliation or even just forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is way before reconciliation, and it may never lead to reconciliation. And if it doesn't, that's okay. Forgiveness is essential. Forgiveness is just sort of beginning to say, you know what, I'm not going to pay you back anymore. I'm going to stop talking about you. I'm going to stop making you like the villain of my story. I'm done. I set you free. I forgive the debt. You don't got to pay me back. I'm not going to pay you back anymore for all the ways that you've not paid me back. Get it? Those are the walls of hostility. They're all around us. We so brick by brick set them up every time we rehearse that story. I'm guilty here. And I'm just, I think the secret, we said it, like, behold the Lamb of God. Look upon Jesus. I keep that picture of Jesus crucified all the way through Easter up in the church. And people are like, well, hang on, Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. He's risen. I'm like, you're darn right he's risen. The tomb is empty, but the cross is full. Friends, our crosses are too clean. The cross is messy. It's as messy as our most broken relationships. The cross is messy. The cross is full of the death of Jesus. The tomb is empty. He is risen. I think we need to look upon him lifted up on the cross. Albeit risen from the dead, the cross shows the cost. And it's just been cleaned up. We got to go there, people. That's how families get redeemed and reconciled. That's how brokenness gets healed. It may not all get fixed, but you know what? Your heart can be right. That's all you can do. I got to stop. I'm about to start preaching on a Saturday morning here. And you're like, come on, Pastor, let's sing. I'm thinking we're going back and singing that hymn, When I Survey. We'll roll in. We just sang it not long ago in Holy Week. We need to bring it back out. I'm looking it up in our hymnal, When I Survey. It's number 221, 221. It's a good Saturday song, 221. We're going to sing verse 1. And 3, and then we're going to sing a chorus, The Wonderful Cross, and then we're going to sing 4 in a chorus. You ready? 1 and 2 in a chorus, and 4 in a chorus. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingle down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near and bless your name. Last verse. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen. Well, let's call it a morning. We're not going to call it a day. The day is just getting started. You're going to get out and sow for awakening today. You're going to sow much good. You know why? Because Jesus is in you, and Jesus is good. That makes you His goodness. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt, and I'll see you on the field.